Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through verse 22. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Again, I'm going to do my best to give a little review, but not major review, so we can get forward in what I believe God has for us. But to put this in context, the day before, Jesus is going to the temple there in Jerusalem. And on his way into Jerusalem, he's hungry, and he sees a fig tree afar off, and it had leaves on it. Supposing that it should have fruit because it had leaves, Jesus goes over there and finds no fruit on it. They'll tell you that if there was leaves, there should have been at least premature fruit on it. So when Jesus seen that the tree was lying to him, in other words, it was being a fake and a fraud, it was being hypocritical, that it wasn't being fruitful, he pronounced judgment upon it. The Bible says he cursed the fig tree. But he wasn't done there because it really wasn't about the fig tree. It was types and shadows. He then goes into the temple and finds the same problem, the church being religious. It wasn't fruitful. It wasn't benefiting people. In fact, the Bible says that the money changers were in there and the merchants were in there and they were stealing from the people. So what does Jesus do? He does what every loving Jesus does. He makes a whip. He premeditates and makes a whip. He goes into the temple and he starts driving people out of what we would think the church. Drives them all out of the church. And then he declares this among his disciples. He says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves." They were stealing from the people. What were they stealing? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Immediately, Jesus begins to bring the sick and the lame, and he begins to heal them, showing them what his temple should be about. It should not be a hypocritical place where we have religious gatherings, that we got to get out by a certain time, where there's no power in that service. So he judges the temple. He judges the fig tree on the next day coming back out. Verse 21, Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Within one day, the root system had died. The tree had died. In verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, not just to Peter, because they're all wondering, like, "Lord, how did you do this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." I want those words to get in your heart. I believe they're the answer to what you're up against. I believe in this season, the last part of this year that's going to be the best part of this year. I believe that these words are key. Have faith in God. Then Jesus shows them what their faith could do if they have faith in God. "For assuredly I say to you," verse 23, "whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So Jesus is teaching them, when you have faith in God, it'll cause you to open your mouth and begin to speak to your problems. It's not for Pastor Randy to speak to your problems. If faith is working in your life, if you truly have faith in your heart, it'll start moving your mouth, and you'll start speaking to every issue that's out of alignment, every tree that's lying in your life, every religious activity that is lying, and it'll cause you to speak and begin to move and remove the issues out of your life. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus said, verse 22. The obvious question that Jesus is answering here is what they're thinking, and what are they thinking? "Lord, how did you do that? I want some of that. How in the world did you do that? How can we do that? How can we experience that?" So Jesus makes it very simple for Peter, who's asking the question, but he's answering all the disciples, because he said he answered and said to them, verse 22, them. Jesus makes it very simple for them and every believer how he did what he did when he did it. He says, "Have faith in God." And if you have this kind of faith, it'll cause you to begin to start speaking to what's wrong in your life. and pronounce judgment. I'm telling you, this is helpful. And to pronounce judgment on every fruitless, every demonic, every lying, every hypocritical thing that's trying to mess with you, trying to mess with your family, trying to mess with your finances. I'm here to tell you, it all starts with have faith in God. Somebody shout, have faith in God. Oh, that's my prayer. God, help us to get this. That's my assignment, is to get that in your heart to the point you're having dreams at night, waking up. Have faith in God. This is the answer to all answers for your life. This answer unlocks the answers, all the answers that you need in your life. Now, if you don't get excited about faith, it's because you don't understand faith. Why is faith so important? Well, you can't be saved without faith. By grace, you have been saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. You can't be justified without faith. In other words, you can't be righteous or made right. For Romans 3, 28 says a person is justified by faith. You can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11, 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please. Why is faith so important? The fourth thing, you can't live the Christian life without faith. Four different times in the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Number five, you can't walk the Christian walk without faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Number six, you can't receive God's promises without faith. Romans 4, 16, 11. So people get what God promised by whining and complaining and griping. No, they get what God promises by faith. If you don't get excited about faith, it's because you don't have an understanding about faith. And that's my assignment in this series of messages. If faith is important to God, then faith should be important to you. As a believer, you need to know, this is a powerful statement. I need you to catch this. As a believer, you need to know that God is a faith God. And once you understand that God is a faith God, then you will understand why things actually work the way they do in the kingdom of God. If you don't understand that, you're going to get frustrated. God is a faith God. And the moment you understand what a faith God is all about is the moment you'll stop getting frustrated with the Christian walk. So what is faith? This is kind of where we landed last week, and I'm making a very simple definition. What is faith? Faith in the Greek language, the definition, I'm going to give you the Greek word. You ready for the Greek word? It's pistis. I know you think I cussed, but I didn't. It's pistis, and it means, somebody shout pistis. See, a bunch of you just cussed too, but it is. It's actually the way you, it's pistis in the Greek. Some of you need to get pistis about your situation right now and say, enough is enough. I'm done with it. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Are you hearing me? In the Greek language, this Greek word simply means to put your trust in God. This Greek word means, come on back in here with me. This Greek word means trust. One word that best describes faith is trust. So when Jesus says put your faith in God, he's saying put your trust in God. In fact, the word trust used in the Old Testament is the word faith that we see all through the New Testament. So if I have faith in God, it means that I have put my trust in God. And I hope I provoke you a little bit. Some of you do need to get a little pistis about your issues. You need to square your shoulders and say, I've had enough of this devil. He's going to get out of my house. He's going to get out of my family. He's going to get out of my marriage. I like that the Greek word is called pistis, because I think some of us ought to just get pistis about our situation, and we need to get trust. See, some of you can't handle that, but yet you talk all kinds of trash once you go out of here. You hate. Come on, you murmur. You pose. and act like you're all that, but I'm here to tell you what we're talking about is a trust and a faith that moves mountains, that'll cause that devil to get out of your situation. And I'm here to tell you that's what this church is all about. We ain't putting up with another situation with the enemy. Come on, we're running that enemy out of our life. So faith is trust. Everybody shout trust. Notice now what Paul said about his faith. He says in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For this reason, I also suffered these things," concerning what he was preaching. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." This is important, and I'm just, again, laying foundation here. Again, Paul is suffering persecution because he's planting churches, he's preaching the word of God, and now people don't like him, and they're trying to come at him. And he says, "I'm suffering these things, but I want you to know I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that every message that I've preached, everything that I've done for the kingdom of God, that God will preserve it, that God will protect it, that there won't be no devil in hell that can mess with it." He says, "because I know whom I have believed." The CEV version says, "I know the one I have faith in." I know the one I have faith in. Hear this. This is so, so important. Notice that Paul did not say, "I know what I believe." Because this is where Christians are getting messed up. This is where we're not seeing what we should be seeing. He didn't say, "I know what I believe, but I know the one that I have placed my belief in." Paul's not just believing in a principle. Paul is believing in a person. Paul makes it clear that his faith, his trust is in God. See, because you can have your trust in so many different things. You can have your trust in Bible verses. You can have your trust in formulas and principles, but that's not what you put your faith in. You put your faith in the one that wrote the Bible, the one that gives you the principle. You see, faith in God is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not based upon principles, code, or methodology. These all have their place in it, but it's based upon a relationship with a living God. It's not just what you believe, but it's in who you believe. Don't miss this. When the Bible talks about faith, it is talking about faith in God, trusting God. And for so many of us, this is not where our faith is. For so many of us, we have put our faith in the wrong place. In order to go forward in what I want to talk about, I want to remind you of the illustration that I used last week concerning my parents who are now in heaven, that many years ago when my dad was traveling back and forth from the Northern California to the Bay Area, he worked down there, he worked crazy, crazy hours, and so they were leaving from Northern California, and my dad asked my mom to drive, and it was about a 2.5-hour drive, 3 hours with the traffic, and so she said, "Okay, I'll drive," and so my dad got in the passenger side, and they take off, and my mom's driving away, and my dad's just sleeping away. He's getting some much-needed rest. He's getting ready to have to go to work. We're crazy hours, and about a couple hours go by, and my dad's done resting. He's done sleeping, and he opens his eyes and begins to look around, and he says, "Baby, are we there yet?" And he looks around and starts seeing things that are familiar and realizes in that moment that they are back where they started, that somehow, some way, for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, my mom completely drove in a circle, and now they are completely back where they had started. My dad learned that day for sure. Now, he knew better, but he really learned that day for sure not to put his trust in my mom to get him where he needed to be. It's so easy to put your trust in the wrong thing. And then wonder why your life is going in circles. Hello, somebody. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Do you know the Bible? It gives you more, but let me give you four major areas that the Bible warns you about putting your trust in. Now, all of these could be a message, a sermon. I just want to hit them. highlight them, read some verses, and go, because we're trying to get somewhere. This is not the message, but the Bible is very serious about it, that it gives you at least four major areas that people have a tendency to put their faith in or to put their trust in. And I'm here to tell you, if you hear this today, you might figure out why you're going in circles. Like, haven't we been here before? Yeah. Put your faith in God. Here's the first one where people get goofed up is trusting in yourself. Now, we would never do that, right? Proverbs 28, 26, he who trusts in himself is a fool. But he who trusts in the Lord is wise. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Hello? Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. Again, the Bible warns us about putting our trust in ourselves. When you put your trust in yourself, you're going to go in circles and wonder why you're keep ending up where you're ending up, because you're just not that smart. Come on. God's smart. Say God is smarter than me. So the Bible, and you could go throughout the Bible, there's a message in trusting in yourself. God says, do not do that. Here's number two, trusting in other people. Trusting in other people. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, the Lord says, cursed is a man who puts his trust in mortal man. Cursed. That, I don't even know how to pretty that up. God just says, you're cursed. In other words, it means that nothing is going to work out for you. When you see the word curse in the Bible, it means that you are doomed to fail. Some of you are wondering why you're going in circles. Perhaps you're putting your trust in other people. It says, cursed is a man who puts his trust in mortal man and turns his heart away from God. He is like a stunned shrub. Now, he's not talking about a bush. He's talking about your life. He's a stunned shrub in the desert with no hope for the future. He lives on the salt-encrusted plains in the barren wilderness. Good times pass him by forever. Like, baby, how did we do this? How did we get back here? Why are we going in circles? You can have misplaced trust. You can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in others. Notice what it goes on to say. God says, here's what you need to do. But blessed is the man, empowered to succeed, but who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and confidence. He's like a tree planted. He's not talking of bushes and trees. He's talking about your life. He is like a tree planted along a riverbank with its roots reaching deep into the water, a tree not bothered by the heat nor worried by the economy or whoever is the president. Come on. Really, you guys are making me work harder than I should be. Is anybody going to help me preach? Can I get a big amen? Thank you. If you had a look at what I'm looking at right now, you'd be discouraged too. My goodness. Just kidding. He's like a tree planted along a riverbank with its roots reaching deep into the water, a tree not bothered by the heat nor worried by long months of drought. Its leaves stay green and it goes right on producing all this luscious fruit. Notice that this person succeeds in difficult times. In other words, they're always producing. Psalms 146, verse 3, don't look to men for help. Even their greatest leaders fail. Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in any person. Listen, if you're disappointed by someone, it might be you've put too much trust in that person. One of my mentors in my life taught us years ago, and it has helped me immensely. I have to practice every day of my life. He says, when it comes to people, expect nothing and appreciate everything. Did you know if you would quit expecting from people, you wouldn't be disappointed by people? When you put your trust in the wrong thing, then when those wrong things fail you, your life falls apart with them. Right? Here's the third thing, since you like that one so much. Third thing, trusting in money and wealth. The Bible warns us about putting our trust in money and wealth. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says, tell those who are rich in this world. Now, that's a little misleading because it's relative. Because all of you in this room are considered rich compared to other countries. But literally, in the Greek language, what that's talking about, those who handle worldly riches or resources. So if you handle money, this is talking to you. Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. Money cannot be trusted. They should put their trust in God. He gives us all we need for our happiness. Come on, that's some good stuff. We're just letting the Bible preach right here. If you're trusting in money to meet your needs, you're going to be disappointed. As believers, come on, who are we trusting in? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He'll use my job. He'll use other people. He'll use investments. But my trust cannot be in money. And our forefathers knew that so much that if you use physical money, you'll see in God we trust. Bible cautions us about putting our trust in money. 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For a love of money. Now, this is huge. It didn't say money is the root of all kinds of evil. It says the love of money. You can have no money and have a love for money. It's not the money itself. Money is either good or bad based upon whose hands it's in. If you're evil, your money's evil. Come on, if you're righteous, then your money will be righteous. And the Bible says, that's the reason why the Bible says the love of money. The love of money means a wrong relationship. When you have a wrong relationship with money, when you trust money, when you won't do what God tells you to do with money, when you won't give when he tells you to give, when you don't tithe when he tells you to tithe, when you don't... I'm just trying to help somebody. He says it's that wrong relationship. And notice what he says. This is what the root to all the evil in your life is all about. And you can get mad at your pastor and you get mad at your neighbor, but God said it is a wrong relationship that you have with a wrong thing that's causing your trouble, and you keep making circles in life and circles in life and circles in life. But God says, I'm trustworthy. Put your faith in me. Here's the fourth thing. Trusting in idols. This isn't the message. This is free of charge. But you got to have this, and if you're going to understand what faith in God is all about, trusting in idols. Now, we're not talking about a statue here. Because most of you go, well, thank God. You know, I had problems on number three, but number four, that's not me. I would think that probably most of us are probably more stuck on number four than any of them. Because an idol is anything that takes the place of God in a person's heart or life. An idol is anything that competes with God for your loyalty or for your devotion. An idol is anything that someone places above God in terms of value or priority. The Bible gives us three different areas in which idols fall. Number one, idols can be systems. The religious system people put their trust in. People put their trust in political systems. People put their trust in authority systems, educational system. That can be an idol. Those things can be good, but God says, don't put your faith in them. Don't put your faith in the political system. Do not put your faith in the authority system. Thank God for what military can do. But hear me, your trust has got to be in God's protection for you and your family. Here's the second area. Idols can be things. Not only can idols be systems, but items can be things. That's activities and hobbies and pastimes and interests and pursuits and entertainment and sports and traditions. And you know I can go off on this all day long. What's keeping you out of church most of the time? It could be an idol. The Bible says don't neglect, don't forsake the coming together. I'll move on to the third one. I'm getting in trouble already. And the Bible says, he tells pastors to warn the church-going people not to be lazy in their church attendance. And especially as the day approaches, tell them that they need to gather more and more and more. But in America, we gather less and less and less, and then we want a move of God. God's not moving unless he can find some faith in God. Somebody shout, I have faith in God. Here's the third area. Idols can be ambitions and desires. Ambitions and desires. That category would be work and business and career. It could be influence and success. It could be power and status and comfort and pleasure. Again, that's a whole message in and of itself. But these things are not bad in and of themselves, but they can become a misplaced thing in your life. Things that have our trust, that removes our trust from God. We're trying to figure out, am I going in circles? Or am I about ready? Am I about ready to move and remove some stuff in my life that I need moved and removed? Jesus, just how did you do that? How did you do that to the tree? And Jesus said, it's very simple. Have faith in God. But it's easy to misplace our faith and then wonder why our Christian walk is not working. So here's what the Bible says concerning idols. Everyone who made the idols, Psalms 11, verse 5 and 8, everyone who made the idols and all who trust them are just as helpless as those useless gods. Psalms 115, verse 8, out of the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. Dead men can only create dead idols. And everyone who trusts in these powerless dead things will be just like what they worship, powerless and dead. So trust in the Lord, all his people. You see, when you put your trust in the wrong things, then when those things fail you in life, your life falls apart. If you're falling apart when things fall apart, it's always an indicator. If you lose your job today and you fell apart, it's always an indicator you've got too much trust in an area. If your life falls apart when things begin to fall apart, it's because you have misplaced your trust. Because I'm here to tell somebody, you need to hear this today, God has never failed one time. I'm here to tell you somebody, there's only one that is completely worthy of your complete trust. There's only one who is able that you can completely rely on to get you through. He's God and he cannot fail. Your job will fail. Your pastor will fail you. Come on, a relationship will fail you. Your money will fail you. Your government will fail you. But God cannot. Somebody shout, God cannot fail. So here's my question for you today. How are you going to make it through what you're trying to get through right now? Here's the answer. That's why you're here. It's awesome to see you here. It's awesome to see you on the other side of that camera. But here's the answer for your life, because we're all struggling with things in life that we need to move and remove out of our life. And Jesus said, I'm going to get here. Here's the answer. Have faith in God. And then you'll open your mouth and you'll start moving the things you need to start moving. Jesus said, he gives us the answer, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Not a principle. Have faith in God. I'm here to tell you that faith in God is absolutely powerful, because your faith in God, your trust in God, is how you overcome. It's how you have victory in this life. Hallelujah. It's how you have victory. Your job can't give you victory. That new wife can't give you victory. Come on, that new president can't give you victory. The last president can't give you victory either. Faith is what gives you the victory. Notice in 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Somebody shout, your faith. Anytime we see the word faith in the Bible, it's talking about faith in God. So it's faith in God that empowers you to have victory in every area of your life. Again, all those things that are a part of our life are good As long as we don't put our trust in them. We go to work, but our trust is in God. We go to church, but our trust is in God. We go where we go. We do what we do. We have the relationships we have, but we're not looking to people. Our eyes are upon in God. We trust. Amen? Let me read a couple different versions of this and just give me a few more minutes. I'm going to land this plane where it needs to be landed here. We're circling the runway right now, so prepare yourself. Some of you can say, okay, that was a great nap, but I need to wake up now. Good. Fold up trays up in the upward position. Seatbelts on. Notice what it says in the CEV version. Every child of God can defeat the world, and our faith is what gives us the victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. The Message translation says it this way. Every God-born person conquers the world's ways. Man, this is what I needed to hear. I don't know about it. I don't know what, maybe you're not dealing, but this is how we do. This is reason why. This is the answer. This is the answer to the answers that you have. It's the answer that unlocks every answer for your life. You don't need to look anywhere else. It's as simple as this, and we overlook it, and we're on to the next thing. Have faith in God. Why? Because every God-born person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith in God. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. I don't know what you're believing for. I don't know what you need. But I'm here to tell you, faith in God is bringing it to you. That new job, come on, that relationship that you need, that restoration that you need, that healing that you need. It is the answer that unlocks all other answers to your life. Mark 9:23. It's a story where a man, his child needs healing, and he's really demon-possessed, and he brings him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything with him, and so he brings his son to Jesus, and he says, Lord, if you can do anything with my child, if anything is possible, can you heal him? And I want you to notice Jesus' response to this man. Jesus answered and says, if it is possible. Like, why are you asking me that? If it is possible. Jesus says this to a desperation. Jesus says this to a desperating situation. He says, all things are possible for one who has faith. All things. In other words, it's not about what I can do. It's about where your faith is. Jesus answered, if it is possible. Like, that's not the question. The question is, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I've come to tell somebody today it's possible. That miracle is possible. That breakthrough is possible. Come on, that provision, that healing is possible if you have faith in God. Jesus says, it's not a matter of what I can do. It's a matter of where you have put your trust. Where's your trust, church? Where's our trust? Our eyes are upon God. Luke 17, look at this, and then we'll wrap this up. I love this story. This is where the disciples are responding to Jesus' teaching. And Jesus has been dealing with them about forgiveness. Has anybody ever struggled with any forgiveness in their life? Just me and you, sister. Just us two. Come on. It's over all them, right? Yes, just. And Jesus teaches the disciples that was something very difficult for them to understand or even swallow. He tells them, if the person asks for repentance, you have to forgive them. He says, not only do you have to forgive them, you have to forgive them 7 times 70. 490 times. But then he goes a little further. He says, not only do you have to forgive them 490 times, but you got to be willing to do 490 times in one day. And that just tilted the disciples. Like, how could he? You mean I've got to let I almost cussed. I got to let them do that 400, and as long as they repent, I got to keep forgiving them and forgiving them and forgiving them. And that's what Jesus was teaching them. Notice Notice the disciples' response. The apostles said to the Lord, Luke 17:5. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's funny. In other words, Lord, how in the world will we ever do that? We're going to have some more faith. Increase our faith. Notice what Jesus said. They said, increase our faith, that trust and confidence in God. And the Lord answered, if you had faith in God. They're saying, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus is saying, if you had faith. And they're saying, Lord, increase our faith. We don't know how we could ever forgive somebody that many times in one day. We're just going to have more faith. Increase our faith. And Jesus says, if you had faith. Now, don't miss that. So they think they have faith. And Jesus says, you don't have any faith. You missed it. They think they have faith. And Jesus says, you have no faith. If you was here last week, we talked about how faith is rare. Jesus says, I'm ready to do the miracles. But the question is, will I find faith when I show up? There's a lot of people thinking they're in faith that they're not in faith. And that's confusing the body of Christ. So they say, Lord, increase our faith, thinking they had some faith, but they didn't have any faith. He said, because if you had faith, even so small, even so small. Did you know there were times where Jesus said, where is your faith? In fact, the previous story where he cast out the demon out of that boy, he looked at the disciples and said, oh, you faithless generation, an evil generation. In the storm when they were on the water and Jesus, they wake Jesus up and Jesus pronounced judgment upon the storm. He looks at the disciples and says, where is your faith? You can think you have faith and you have no faith. And faith is important to you having victory in life. And Jesus says, if you had faith even so small like a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Again, we're not talking about mountains. We're not talking about trees. We're not talking about shrubs. We're talking about your issues. And Jesus says, if you had faith, even a small little bit, just like a mustard seed, you would say, notice how faith will always move your mouth. If you have faith, it will move your mouth. And if it moves your mouth, it'll move your problem. You'll say to the mulberry tree, you'll say to the cancer, you'll say to the poverty, you'll say to the lack, you'll say to the desperation, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So here's the disciples thinking they had faith, yet Jesus said, if I could just find a little bit, just a glimmer, just a tiny little bit, amazing things would happen in your life. Jesus is talking about real faith, faith in God, not faith in a principle, not faith in a verse, but faith in a person. Jesus is saying, if I could just find faith, just a little bit of faith, that faith in your mouth would start speaking to the mountain and it would start moving and removing the issues of your life. He says, I don't take a lot of faith, it's just a little bit of faith, because that faith is tree ripping up, it's problem ripping up, it's sickness ripping up, it's poverty ripping up. That faith would move mountains in your life, because that kind of faith is powerful in your life. And the reason why I said all that is because I want to bring you to a place to ask you the question, maybe this is why things haven't been working, thinking we have faith and we don't have any faith. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you have faith. There's a lot of people in church, they're not even listening to the message. They've been scrolling and finding out who's winning, who's losing. Now, notice what the TV version says of this, The Voice. It almost sounds like a program. Jesus pointing to a nearby mulberry tree. It's not like you need a huge amount of faith. If you just had faith the size of a single, tiny mustard seed. See, because I think we think it's going to take an enormous amount. God said, it don't take just, if I could just get you shifted and get your trust in me and not in all these other things. If I could just get you to make a little adjustment, that tiny mustard seed, you could say to this huge tree, pull up your roots and replant yourself in the sea, and it would fly through the sky and do what you said. So even a little faith can accomplish the seemingly impossible. It don't take a lot. It just takes the people that says, I have faith in God. If it's not working, if it's not changing, I might be going in circles because my trust really isn't in God. It's just in tradition and religion and the hour and 15-minute service. And for us, it's the two-hour service. And it's in this and it's in that. But if we're going to see mountains moved in our life, if we're going to see the miracles show up in our life, if we're going to see the restoration and the answer to our prayers, God says, I need faith, and I don't need a lot of it. I just need a little bit. And if I could get you to get a little bit, it'll rip up the problems. It'll rip up the trees. It'll rip up the situations. I can do miracles in your life. If I could just find a heart that is loyal and committed and devoted, that says there shall be no other gods above my God. He is Yahweh. Come on, somebody shout Yahweh. For you to have faith, for you to have faith, you got to do something. So how do I get it? Anybody want to know? Just keep doing what you've been doing for the last hour. As I've been preaching, for those that have been listening, guess what's been happening? Faith has been coming to you. And it's that little seed, it's that little glimmer. That's the reason why these services are absolutely so important to your life. Because every time you come into a setting like this, and any time you turn on that message and you're watching through these cameras, I'm here to tell you, the Bible says faith, notice this, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You just have to do what you've been doing the last 35, 45, the last hour of your life. You just got to be hearing the word of God. And that word of God starts bringing hope to you. It starts bringing faith to you. Faith in God comes by hearing about God, hearing about his nature, hearing about his character, hearing about his will, hearing about his promises. That's how faith comes. When we talk about a God that heals you and a God that delivers, all of a sudden hope and faith begins to come in your heart. Faith does not come just because you decide to have some. Faith does not come because you need some. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, now don't miss this, hearing by the word of God. Notice it doesn't say that faith comes by having heard. What you heard yesterday is not helping you today. What you heard yesterday is not helping you today. You got to hear it over and over. And so one Sunday, come on, one little chapter here and there. No, you got to be in the book day and night. And when you are reading the Bible, when you are studying the Bible says that word becomes alive to you and gets in your heart. There's two kinds of words for the word of God. One is logos and one is rhema. Logos or logos is the written word. For you to have faith, it's got to move from logos to rhema. It's not enough just to have written word. This right here isn't enough to have faith. But as you read it over and over, or you listen to anointed preaching, all of a sudden those words come alive and they get off your page and they get right into your heart. It's no longer healing there, it's healing right here. It's not only deliverance there, it's deliverance there. It's not only hope there, it's now hope in here. How do you get faith? We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and we're going to keep hearing the word of God that says he wants to bless you, he wants to increase you, he wants to deliver you, and that faith in your heart will begin to move your mouth and say, I ain't got to put up with this anymore. I don't have to deal with this anymore. Mountain of doubt and unbelief, mountain of difficulty, get out of my life. You receive that today? Come on, you receive that today? Stand to your feet. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is kind of where the church gets a little goofy. And we operate in fantasy. People, let me just give you an example of this, since I'm here and teaching this. You could say, well, I believe Pastor, you know, he's a good guy. I believe Pastor's going to come over and mow my lawn this week. You know we have a kind, loving pastor. I just believe, did I tell you I was going to come over and mow your lawn this week? Well, no, but I'm in faith. I'm believing that he's going to come over and mow my lawn. I don't even mow my own lawn, much less am I going to show up and mow your lawn. And that's what people do with God. You see, faith is based upon what God has said. So you can't have faith if you don't know what God has said. And you got to hear it every day of your life for you to have faith in your life. And when you're hearing it every day in your life, then you have moved out of foolishness and presumption into a place of trust that now miracles can work in your life. Come on, that's some good stuff right there. For you to have faith in God, you have to know what God has said and then daily hear it so it becomes faith in you. You know, if we spend as much time in the Bible as we did on social media, do you know how powerful the church would be? And we wonder where our problem is. God says, all I need is just a little bit, and you're giving it to Instagram. And you're giving it to Facebook. And you're giving it to church. I'm telling you, this is treasure. Jesus, how did you do what you did? How did you do that to the fig tree? If we could have some of that. Oh, Lord, we want some of that. And Jesus says, you want some of that? Come on again, look to your neighbor and say, you want some of that? It's simple. It's a simple answer, so simple, you'll just let it go by you because you're more interested in religion than you are God. He says, all I need you to do is have faith in God. Wow. And that faith will become your victory to overcome every issue that life throws at you. And all you have to do to get faith is keep hearing the word. Come on, keep hearing the word. Come on, keep hearing the word. Keep hearing the word. Keep hearing the word. Some of you are some of you right now, it's like, well, you shut up. No, see, that's the problem. Keep hearing the word. Keep hearing that you're healed. You're delivered. You're going to make it through. Come on, you're not holding on. God's got a hold of you. You don't need to tie a knot in the rope. God's got you by. You're going to make it. God's going to make provision. There's a better job coming. Come on, he's going to heal that relationship. He's going to heal your body. Come on, you're not going to die of sickness. You're not going to die of cancer. Have faith in God. And God says, if I could just find a little bit, it'll bring miracles to your life. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Yes. Come on, you receive that today? Oh, thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes as we wrap this up today. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for the answer today. Thank you for the help today. God, let this be a week of miracles for your people. God, as we make adjustments in our life to set our heart on you, to put our trust in you, to rearrange our life where we place misplaced trust. Father, we want to do what you said we could do. We want to move the mountains in our life. So, Father, we're praying today that revelation of your word would ignite on the inside of us, that would cause us to begin to speak to the issues of our life, that would change our life forever. God, as your people do that this week, as they do that in this moment, pray, God, miracles would take place for them. Supernatural happenings would take place for them. That every lying issue in their life would be defeated. God, our eyes are upon you. You know, just right where you're at, just begin to pray. Just begin to, just whatever adjustment. I don't know how this message affects you or, you know, how God wants to apply it to your life. You might be all good and okay, but for us that need to apply it in areas of our life, just go ahead and begin to exercise what's been taught today. Take the faith that you've heard through this message today and begin to open your mouth and begin to judge the lies of your life. You're not going to live anymore in my life. You're not going to deceive me anymore in my life. You're not going to control my future anymore. You see, I can't do that for you. Faith has to move your mouth. And just in this moment, right where we're at, you just begin to open your mouth and speak to your issues, healing and deliverance and wholeness, whatever it is that you're believing God for, whatever you've heard from God and you've put your trust in, just begin to release that out of your mouth. Because he said all you had to do is have faith in God, and then you start speaking. Just start speaking to that issue today. Come on, if you need a job, if you need resources, whatever that is, just start speaking to that. My God shall supply all my needs. Lord, my eyes are not upon on things and money and all that other stuff. You use that, but God, my eyes are upon you. You just speak into that issue right now. Speak into that problem right now. Father, we just declare that by the stripes of Jesus, we're healthy and we're whole and we're healed. We walk in that victory today. Declare that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That we're blessed, God, in our going and our coming. That everything we set our hands to do is prospering, is succeeding. Just speak to the issue. Speak to every issue in your life. You've been given that authority. That authority of the faith that's on the inside of you. It's all going to be well. It's all going to be well. I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but I just believe this is a miracle week for jobs, for increase, for promotion. Hallelujah. Come on, is anybody believing for that? Just if you're out here in the country, raise your hand if you're believing. Man, okay, that's why. Okay. Y'all need jobs? Wow, okay. Promotions? Yeah, okay. Get ready to sing something, okay? Father, I speak over every need in this room, online, a favor would come to them. Would you give them influence this week? Father, jobs would open up for your people. The promotions would open up for your people. God, those that are transitioning out of older jobs, God, I pray that you bring them the best of jobs. God, give them the favor of God Almighty. Father, you're their source. And I thank you today, God, that you are moving in their life to work divine appointments, God, with owners and businesses and firms. God, we just pray that favor would be upon your people today. I declare the favor of God upon your people and the favor of God with man this week as they go and they set their hand to seek what's available. God, I thank you that opportunities are coming their way. This week, miracles, God, are coming their way. And I thank you, Lord, that even next week when we gather together, there'll be great testimonies of miracles in the area of occupations and careers and jobs. Thank you that you're providing. Come on, I don't want to scoot past this. Just lift your hands. Declare health and healing, Lord. Cancer, you have to go. By the stripes of Jesus, I declare you're healed in Jesus' name. That ear issue, I declare healing flows. I command that pain in that right ear to go right now in Jesus' name. Father, that eardrum to be open. In the name of Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. Just one more time, right where you're at, just open your mouth. Speak to the issues. What are you believing God for? What are you believing, God? God, we just thank you today. God, you're bringing us into the best condition of our lives. Resources are coming into our hands. Thank you, Lord, for places to live, God, homes and houses that we won't be renters, that we'll be owners. Provisions coming into our lives, Lord. Our eyes are upon you. We have faith in you, Lord Jesus. Christ is my
friend. Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.